Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
One of the things I think about in the book of Luke, when it talks about the shepherds who would eventually witness the birth of Christ or see the infant Messiah in the stable, the Bible said that these shepherds were keeping watch over their flock by night. I think that's very appropriate for the hour that we're living in. And I submit that mainly to our shepherd, Jesus Christ. The psalmist said, "The Lord is our shepherd, and I shall not want," because he knows everything that I need. He is a shepherd that provides for us, and not just in the good times. He doesn't just give us prosperity when we're on the mountaintop. He gives us success in the valley. He gives us strength when we are our weakest. He leads us beside the still waters. He provides for us. He nourishes us. He knows where the green pastures are, even when we can't find them, even when we can't see them. When certain miraculous operations of God are not visible to us, He is still the gift giver. He is still Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider. And so living in these nebulous times, if you will, living in this shadowy hour of evil and wickedness and the buildup toward an Antichrist kingdom and the coming of the Lord, we're in a Christmas season unlike any that probably most of us have ever experienced. Maybe those who were alive as kids during World War II may have experienced something like this, but to be in a pandemic, to be in a time of wickedness and the rulers of darkness that seem to be pushing more and more buttons of anti-Christian philosophies and so on, I'm thankful in this Christmas season for the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful for the grace of God. And Ephesians calls it the riches of His grace. So as children of God tonight, we are blessed. We're not just blessed because we may or may not have material things. We're not just blessed because we may or may not have our health at the moment. But we're blessed because He's a healer. We're blessed because He's a provider. We're blessed because that beyond this world, He is preparing a place for us, that this old world is not our home. And the greatest Christmas message that can be translated, I think, in this hour at night is that our shepherd is coming. Jesus is coming. And if the final greener pastures are not found in this life or on this earth or in this secular system, we are going to a better place. But we can enjoy the journey while we head there. We can sing in the night. We can lift up our voices in the face of adversity. And we're doing that. Many of you are going to do that through this season. And you're going to turn those clouds of darkness into the downpours that bring nourishment to the gardens that are going to grow in your life, the streams that are going to come in your desert, the blossoms and the roses that are going to rise up out of the solitary places. But I think about the beauty of Christmas, and in these Christmas reflections, we are also looking forward. We're looking to the coming of the Lord. Right. And how this Christmas, how does it fit in to the coming of the Lord in this particular hour? I mean, it's different. It's a different time. But we still lift up our eyes unto the hills from which cometh our help. We are still in great expectation and anticipation for what the Bible calls our blessed hope. So no matter what the disappointments might be, no matter what the setbacks might be, we know that Jesus is coming again. And that's truly one of the greatest gifts that we have during the season, because it gives us peace that passes understanding. There are a lot of things that we're seeing in the world that don't make sense, but we can't let that steal our sensitivity to the Spirit. We must have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And I want to keep my eyes open. I want to keep my ears in tune. I want to speak the things that have faith in them. And I know in practicality, we all have human moments. We all give in to those pessimistic fears. We all give in to those vulnerable hours when we see nothing but darkness. But at the end of the day, we need to be able to open our mouth with a praise unto the Lord, to magnify the Lord. And I think that's another great gift in this Christmas season, is the ability to lift our hands, holy hands unto the Lord, Apostle Paul said, because we're surrendering everything to Him. The things that confuse me, I surrender to Him. The things that don't make sense to me and I can't comprehend, I surrender to Him. I submit myself and all my difficulties and dreams to Him. And I think that's a word of encouragement for somebody tonight. And in a few days, when Christmas comes, you may not be able to be with all of your family members because of isolation and quarantining. And these are words we're getting sick of, aren't we? Pardon the pun, but I'm sick of COVID. And this is something that we're going to have to deal with. But I want you to be encouraged in the Lord that I believe the angels of God are going to be there with you. For any grandparent that may not be able to spend this Christmas season with your precious kids and grandkids, I want you to be encouraged in the Lord with a gift of peace. I pray that you almost literally feel the embrace of the Prince of Peace come into your house on Christmas Day, and you feel the presence of the Lord and the love and affection that He has for you, so that you don't feel alone in this particular hour. I go back to a child's story, legendary, if you will. I grew up with it, and it was, I believe it come out of the 1940s or 50s, but the Grinch Who Stole Christmas. If you remember that green furry creature, he hated all those happy people down there in Whoville. And every time they made their noise and had their celebrations, it drove him crazy. So he had the thought, I'm going to sneak down into town Christmas Eve, and I'm going to steal all their gifts. So house by house he went in, he stole all the gifts. And as he took that big giant pile of gifts on his sled back up to the mountain in his hole of a cave that he'd go back and drink his bitter brew, he didn't get the result that he thought he was going to get, because as the story goes, when those in Whoville woke up the next morning and when they noticed that all their gifts were stolen, they didn't cry, they didn't mourn. They started singing, they started passing around the eggnog. They were full of cheer, and it absolutely stunned the Grinch until that little old small heart of his began to grow, and he brought all the gifts back to town, and then he was invited to stay as an honored guest. Now, that's the Grinch who stole Christmas. Now, I want to do a parallel with that, because I believe at this Christmas season we are so close to the coming of the Lord. It could happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So I'm not talking about the Grinch who stole Christmas, but one day it's going to be the Grace who stole Christians, because the Bible said Jesus is coming as a thief in the night, and He knows who He's coming for. He's coming for a bride. He's coming for a church that's made herself ready according to Revelation 19. And the rapture trumpet is going to sound. That's not a fairy tale. That's not a Dr. Seuss book. This is not just some fictional thing. This is actual events that are going to take place. It's a prophetic word now, but one day it's a promise that's going to come true. And the whole world's going to be stunned at that moment, because they're going to be looking around going, where'd all them Christians go? And some are going to be glad we're gone. Others are going to be stunned that we're gone. And the people that used to be in the church, well, they're probably going to be really upset that we're gone, because it's going to signal a lot of the doom that's going to come on this planet at that moment. But just think about that. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and one day He's going to seize us out of this world. And He's going to do that because we have been saved by the grace of God. It's the Grace who stole Christians. They're going to be gone. We're getting out of this world in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I want you to be encouraged in this hour to keep looking for the coming of the Lord. That's why the Bible taught us, instructed us. It gave us that strong admonition to comfort one another with these words, because we feel so close to the coming of the Lord. We feel that it's coming at any moment. And your generation feels it. Your generation is feeling the tug in so many areas. And I believe that your generation is going to have a great revival. I believe that they're going to stand for the word of God and for truth, and realize that Christmas is not just a holiday, but it is just one of the days where we can be in the presence of the Lord again, and every day can be Christmas. Every day can be Easter, if you will, because every day in the presence of the Lord is really a holiday. When you get the rest whereby the weary are made to rest, that's another great gift. And I pray for somebody right now that might be struggling with insomnia, that might be struggling with rest in your spirit, that God will give you the calmness and the assurance that you need right now, that it'll come upon you and you feel the strength and the touch of the Lord. And as I look at this season, I think about four things. It's a season of four, if you will. I believe it's a season to forget. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I think it's a time to let the things that haunted you in the past stay there. If the only thing you're going to take with you, take the gleanings of it. Take the gladness of it. Take the things that transformed you, that fed your testimony, that empowered your faith. Take that with you, but leave the other stuff. Leave the bones. Leave the dead things in the past. Leave them buried in the dirt of yesterday's failures and move forward. It's a time to forget. Secondly, it's a time to forgive or be forgiven. You may feel like you're carrying around burdens of shame tonight, my friend, but I want you to know one of the greatest gifts you could get in this season is the gift of forgiveness. To be forgiven and to know that the blood of Jesus comes surging and rushing in like a flash flood to clean you and to set you free from the sins and mistakes and iniquities of your past. He can deliver you from the lawlessness and mistakes that you made yesterday. He can forgive you. And then out of that, you can forgive others. Animosities, things that you've held in your heart for a long time. Bitter bonds that have had you chained in a prison of vindictiveness. You can be set free from that through forgiveness. So it's a season to forgive. Thirdly, it's a season to forego. There's a lot of traps that are set out there. There are snares of demonic agendas, pitfalls of anger and rage. And you're going to say, well, I'm going to miss that. I'm going to forego that. I'm going to skip the invite of the rebels and the unrighteous. I'm not going to do it their way, because the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So I'm going to forego that. If that's the direction they're going toward darkness, I don't want that. I want to stay on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So somebody right now that has had a hard time letting go of things and has had a hard time resisting certain temptations in your life, this is the season to forego. You're going to say, I'm not doing that anymore. Not going that direction anymore. Not going to get tripped up and snared by that stuff anymore. I'm going to miss that from now on. It snagged me and snared me, but not now. It has entangled me and entrapped me, but not anymore. Because through the grace of God and the mercy of the Lord that is everlasting, I'm going to forego that stuff. And I believe somebody in the Holy Ghost prophetically right now can prophesy in the spirit and say, God's got that word for me. I'm going to forego the failures of yesterday. I'm going to forego the fears of yesterday. I'm going to forego all of the anger and the bitterness and the corrupting elements that have tried to take advantage of me, have tried to take advantage of my vulnerabilities, tried to kick me when I'm down, but I'm not living that way anymore. I'm not going to be intimidated by the darkness anymore. Say that and pray that and say, this is an hour. This is a season. One of my gifts in this Christmas season is to forego. Forego the darkness. Forego the deceivers. Forego the distractions. Keep your focus on the coming of the Lord. And then four, in the season of four, I believe it's a season to fortify. We need to build up our faith. We don't need weak faith, folks. We need to build up our faith, and it's something that our anointed bishop, who's been around and fought these battles as a man of God for over 50 years. And by the way, we thank God for the touch of God on his life. One of the things that he has said through this pandemic, we've talked about it in private. He's mentioned it when he's been preaching or even in these settings, is, folks, you got to keep your faith. You got to keep your faith and your faithfulness. Keep your altars at home built. You got to keep praying. You got to, if it's early in the morning, if it's in the mid morning, if it's in the afternoon, if it's 5-6 times a day, you keep your prayer life hot. Keep your walk with God fervent, because you can't give up your faithfulness now. We're not getting to assemble at the house of God like we want to. We're still in limited capacity. I'd love to pack this house, you know, and someday we're going to get to do that again. But we can be faithful to God in our homes, and you've got to do that. You got to keep the prayer wheels turning day by day. Got to keep fasting periodically, and need to keep that fast day. I've said this: keep your fast day till the rapture. And instead of us just, you know, every now and then raising a hand in church, I'll commit to a specific day. Let's just keep that fast day, or at least a fast day weekly, and let your faith grow. You have to keep your faith. We've got to be fortified. We've got to let the Lord make us stronger in this hour. There's some people that are in some real crawl spaces. They're in some tunnels of darkness. They're feeling their way through, and they are scared to death of the creatures of sin that are crawling around and dominating their lives and the poison and the venom of this age. But if you can fortify your faith, God will give you the courage and the confidence to go through things and to make it through those tunnels. And some of you, hear me in the Holy Ghost, you're going to see a light at the end of the tunnel. God's going to give you the encouragement that you need. Don't listen to the whispers of hell in the darkness. Don't give in to the imaginations in the darkness. That's exactly what the devil wants to trigger in all of us. But I tell you, by the power of the Holy Ghost, let the name of Jesus and the authority of the Word of God become that lamp. Become that lamp and that light in the name of Jesus, so that you raise that light up. No matter where you are in the darkness, it begins to project the confidence and the strength and the protection of God in your life, and it will fortify you. It'll help you put on that strong armor. You don't have weak armor, child of God. You've got a strong helmet of salvation, shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness, your loins girt about with truth. You've got a sword of the Spirit. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel, and we are going forward in all perseverance in the Spirit. So in this season, God's going to help you fortify, build, make stronger your faith, so that when the invasion of darkness comes, you're going to be ready with the delivering hand of God. You're going to be ready in the anointing of the word of the Lord. You're going to be ready with righteousness, because you've chosen with purity of heart and mind to do what is right, to do what is pleasing to the Lord, to keep the favor of God in your life, that you're going to do the things that are opposing to evil. You're going to live as a contradiction to those that corrupt themselves to the counsel of the ungodly. And so you're going to be that voice, that light, and you're going to have strength when the invasion of darkness comes, because you live for the kingdom of God, not for the kingdom of this world. And even though the night cometh when no man can work, you understand that in the light and counsel of God, you're able to do things that are in season, out of season. You're able to have a harvest when everyone else is having scarcity. You're able to have abundance when everyone else is abbreviated in their efforts and their fruitfulness, because out of your faithfulness to God is going to come fruitfulness, prosperity. There is a prosperity of the wicked, but you realize that standing fortified in your conviction that the overwhelming and the eternal reward that comes in a crown of righteousness far exceeds any temporal gain that you can have in this old world. So you keep reaching for it, that which is eternal, that which is everlasting life. You're not going to give in to the seducing spirits. You're not going to give in to the cynicism and the sarcasm of this hour when so many mock God and they mock the reports of miracles, and because maybe somewhere along the way they've become a disappointed idealist themselves. They now have burned the bridges of the Bible in their life, and there's nothing but ashen remains and ruin and rebellion, and they have no regard for the things of God and no respect for the people of God. But you've got to stay the course, stay fortified. See, the name of the Lord is a strong and a mighty tower that the righteous run into and are safe. It's a fortification of hope. It is a stronghold of spiritual understanding that comes through the Word of God. 2 Peter 1:3 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. These promises is what helps fortify us in the premises of darkness when we are approached by the promiscuous behavior of those that would want us to sell out, that would want us to deceive ourselves by thinking that we could live according to the world and the system of the world and still be saved. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, verse 5. That word diligence is to make an effort. When you are fortifying your faith, you don't let yourself just become weak with worldliness. You do not allow yourself to become frail with fear. You do not allow yourself to stay down in the dirt because you've made some mistakes. You get up. You let your faith get fortified. You let it become stronger. You get some titanium tenacity, if you will, and you move forward in the Spirit and you continue to make an effort. That's diligence. That's a great desire to be pleasing to the Lord. And so when you are giving this all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge. Now that word add is a Greek word that means a director that would lead choreography or a chorus. In other words, they were a traveling group that would entertain, and this director would pay all the expenses of those that were involved in his production. This is a word add that's saying, hey, it's already been paid for by the blood of Jesus, and if you'll make an effort, you're going to be able to add to your faith virtue. That's purity. That's clean hands and a pure heart. And to virtue knowledge. So you're not fumbling around in the dark. You're not confused. You're fortifying yourself with knowledge. And to knowledge temperance, that's self-control. I mean, we're living in a world that's out of control, but you and I have to make an effort to fortify ourselves with self-control. And to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. Now notice where godliness is in this lineup. It's in this list that keeps us on the course of faithfulness and keeps us fortifying ourselves against deception, darkness, and distractions. We need that godliness. And to godliness, verse 7, brotherly kindness. And look how the list ends. And to brotherly kindness, charity. We've got to have love. And Paul said, or Peter said here, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you fortify yourself, when you build yourself up, when you have the spiritual growth that God wants you to have, because of these things that you're making an effort to gain, because of these things, the expenses of which has already been covered by the blood of Jesus, you're going to be able to have greater faith. You're going to be able to be fortified in this hour against the aims and the agendas of darkness. So my friend, in this season, receive the gifts that God has for you, not under the Christmas tree, but under Calvary's tree, because that's where we get the greatest gifts and blessings and hope for the church, in Jesus' name.
Soon Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.